Good morning, friends. It is so good to be in your home this morning. You know, some of you I know are interested in where we are speaking from every Sunday, and some of you know this location. But as you can see, there's a lot of commotion and traffic and loud noises around me, and I don't even know if you can hear me right now. But that's life, and that's exactly what life is like right now, with so many different voices and noises around us that we just have to sort through and submit to Jesus. You know, my prayer every Sunday, and actually every day of the week, I want you to know that I'm praying for you, has been based out of Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, where I pray for you, the church, that you would be rooted in Christ, strengthened in the faith, overflowing with thankfulness. And what an important time in our world today where we are rooted in Christ and strengthened in the faith. You know, these past two Sundays, I've told you that we are in a new sermon series called Rooted. And one of the constant themes through that has been, you can't be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature at the same time. One of my friends this week told me of a story of a friend who traveled to Asia, and he was at a market, and he picked up a piece of blown glass that was a beautiful piece of art. But his friend said, "Hey, don't buy that. Do not buy that. It'll be a waste of money." And the friend said, "Well, why? It looks beautiful to me." He said, "Yes, but hold it up to the light. Because once you hold it up to the light, it will reveal all of the cracks in it, because that blown glass has been pieced together." And you know, I wonder, during this time that we are in, I wonder if Jesus would ask us, well, I know he does, ask us to hold up our lives to him and to say, "Jesus, would you reveal any area in my life where I am just emotionally immature, where I am just stuck in some pain or some baggage in my life to where I just can't move forward in life?" Or perhaps Jesus would ask some of us to say, "Would you hold up to me what you really value, what you think is of value? And would you submit that to me where I can speak truth into your life?" You know, the first Sunday of our series, we talked about King Saul and how he was dominated by fear and he sought the approval of men. And that really had consequences for him. He lost his kingdom because of that. He did not pay attention to what was going on underneath the surface of his life. Last Sunday, we talked about David and how David actually did pay attention to what was going on in his life. He was confident in his identity and who he was in Christ. He paid attention. You know, there might be some of us who would say, "You know what? I love God." But deep down in our lives, there are some areas where we are just immature about some things. You know, take a guy like Tom. I'm not talking about anyone who's listening, of course. This is just an illustration. But Tom had been a Christian for 31 years. He loved God. He went to church. He did all this Christian stuff. But one day his friend invites him to go, let's say, fishing or hunting. But then at the last minute, his friend cancels on him. Tom then sits at home and he begins to stew on why his friend canceled on him. Why did he do this? You see, what you don't know about Tom's life is that he grew up in a home where people always canceled on him, where he was abandoned time and time again, and he was raised in that environment. And so now every relationship that he encounters when he is canceled on, he doesn't know what to do. And instead of confronting those emotions in his life and perhaps doing the mature thing and talking to the individual, instead he distances himself from that friend. And then he moves on to another relationship, and the same thing happens and again and again, and he begins to get hurt. You know, the story that we're going to talk about this morning is the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37. And it's a really good example of some people who just did not take care of some things in their life, to where they had this emotional baggage in their life. They said they loved God, but they really didn't put that love into action. I think it's also a really good example of a person who was broken and who had humility in their life, who had some deep conversations with the Lord and who did ask for healing in their life so that they could shine the love of God in their life. But before we really dig deep into this passage, I just want to ask you this question. How are you growing in your love of God and in your love of others? Because we can't separate the two. And the story that Jesus tells us just that. We can't separate the two. So how are you growing in your love of God and your love for others? Let me use this illustration. You know, babies, they obviously can't speak. You know, they cry to get what they want. And when mom and dad don't come, the baby cries even louder. You know, an adult who is an emotional infant does the same thing. They treat others as objects just to get their needs met. They might treat others poorly if they don't get what they want. Of course, that doesn't describe any of us who are listening, probably. But now think of a child who is maybe, let's say, 10 years old. They obviously can speak. They can talk, but they're still dependent on a parent to help them meet their needs. Perhaps that child comes home from school and they come home mad, and they begin to get really upset, and they begin to say, you know what, I want to just get back at my friend. They begin to spread rumors about their friend. You know, an adult who is like an emotional child is not really all that different, is it, from that 10-year-old? An adult might act out of resentment. An adult might lie. An adult might distance themselves from that person. They don't have the ability to honestly talk about their feelings and emotions. So part of growing into a healthy, spiritual, emotional Christian is someone who has empathy for others, who can see another point of view, a person who's not easily offended and feels the need to get back. Also, a person who's able to speak truth without attacking another person. So where are you in that area? I mean, if you're like me, that growth does not happen overnight. It's a work of God to grow us into a healthy, spiritual, emotional follower of Jesus. That day that Jesus told this story in Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25, tells us that there was a lawyer who asked a question. He said, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And of course, the problem with that question right off the bat, I need to say, is that's the wrong question. Because there's nothing that you can do to inherit eternal life. It is the grace of God in your life. We don't earn it. We don't buy it. The Bible says, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. But he wants to know. And so Jesus answers the question. He says, well, what's written in the law? What's written in the Old Testament? And the guy says, well, love God and love neighbor. And Jesus says, yep, you got it right. Just go and do that. Well, still, he wants to figure this thing out. And he says, well, just who is my neighbor? I mean, how far do I have to take this love thing that you're talking about? And so Jesus then goes in to a story. In verse 31 and 32, he says, you know, there was this guy going down from Jerusalem to Jericho along this road. And this road, if some of you don't know, is a very dangerous road. I know it's windy here. It's a very dangerous road. And there are some people along this road who like to hide out and rob people. And this is what Jesus is describing on this road. This robber comes, he robs this guy, he strips him of his clothes, he leaves them half dead on the side of the road. We learn in verses 31 and 32 that there was a priest and a Levite walking down the road. Now, a priest and a Levite, they're very spiritual people. They're like pastors. They're supposed to be holy. They're supposed to be preaching about the love of God. And they walk down this same road. They walk right past this guy, but they walk on the other side of the road. They don't call 911. they don't even go over to see what's going on with this man. Now, we don't know why they didn't stop. Jesus does not focus on that. But the point is that there was one man that did. And this one man took pity on this man. You know, in verse 33, I think we're challenged to ask this question or reflect on this. If I am growing into a spiritually, emotionally healthy follower of Jesus, then I will see the hurt and pain in other people's lives. Because in verse 33, it tells us that this Samaritan, this good Samaritan, saw this man. He saw the man. He not only saw the man with his own eyes, but he went over and he began to engage this man. It says that he took pity, or he had compassion on the man. This word compassion actually means like this gut level response. You know, after you've ate some bad pizza or something bad, your stomach might be upset and you feel this like thing in your gut. This is the kind of compassion that Jesus is talking about. It's the same kind of compassion Jesus had on people when he saw the multitudes, or when he saw people who were harassed and helpless. He had compassion on him. That's the same kind of passion that this Samaritan had on this guy. And the shocking thing is that this man is a Samaritan, possibly helping out a Jew. Jews and Samaritans, they hated each other. There was bad blood between the two of them. They had different political views. They probably had a different view about COVID-19. They had different religious views. They were of a different race. They did not get along. And I'm sure as Jesus is telling this story to this lawyer and those who were standing around, this would have been shocking to them, because the hero of the story is the Samaritan. I want you to think of a person who you just hate. Okay, not hate, but maybe dislike. Insert their name for this Samaritan who helped, because that is the exact guy that showed compassion. It was shocking to them. So the question I ask myself today is, am I growing in my ability to see others and their pain and their hurt around me? And not just see, but am I growing in my ability to actually go and engage them in a conversation or help them in some kind of way? Or do I sit back and say, you know what? They're lying in this ditch. They probably did something to deserve it. I'm not going to help. If that's you, what is causing, or what is rising up in your life causing you to think that way or say that kind of thing? Max Lucado, in his book called Numbers, reflects on the verse John 3:16. He says this about John 3:16. He says, it's a 26-word parade of hope, beginning with God, ending with life, and urging us to do the same. It's brief enough to write on a napkin or memorize in a moment, yet solid enough to weather 2,000 years of storms and questions. If you know nothing of the Bible, start here, he says. If you know everything of the Bible, return here. We all need the reminder. The heart of the human problem is the heart of the human, and God's treatment plan is described or prescribed in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and that whomever believes in me shall not perish but have eternal life. Friends, I want to call us as a church to the back to the basics of love. Jesus gave. Jesus loves. And he calls us to do the same even with people who we may not agree with. Jesus goes on to tell this story in verse 34, which causes me to question, am I growing into a spiritual and emotionally mature person to where I give my heart to others around me? even serving people who I may disagree with, even politically or even spiritually. Verse 34 says, he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey and he took him to an inn and took care of him. Friends, Jesus is telling this story 2,000 years ago, but we're reading it today. We're hearing it today. And I think we need to work to apply this to our lives today. As I said before, I think I've already said, if there's ever a time that the world needs love, the love of Jesus, it is now. And this Samaritan took great risk. I mean, if you've ever helped someone who is bleeding, I mean really badly bleeding, you take great risk. I mean, maybe this Samaritan might get infected. And maybe if he stops along the road for long enough, maybe he will end up like this person who is lying half dead on this road. But he opens up his heart. He takes compassion. He is moved with pity. What a great example that Jesus is giving this man and giving us today of real love. You know, real love, the love of Jesus, is one that seeks the highest good for someone else. Even when there's different political views, even when there's different religious views, even when you don't maybe approve of what someone is doing, Jesus calls us to love. Jesus is calling this lawyer to have compassion, to have this heart of pity for another person. Friends, this is a serious moment in our world today. I want to appeal to you on the basis of the love of Jesus. If we are growing spiritually into an emotionally mature adult, then we will seek the highest good for someone else. You know, one of the greatest verses, friends, is Romans 5:8 in the Bible, that Jesus loved us while we were still yet sinners. Let that sink in this morning, that Jesus loved us while we were still yet sinners. And so if I'm growing spiritually and into this emotionally mature adult, then I am going to be willing at times to lay down my rights. Now, I'm not saying give up all of our rights, because I think in Scripture there's Scripture about where people actually took up their rights. But what I am saying is, if my rights are getting in the way of my witness for Christ, I've got to lay those down. If my rights are getting in the way of someone else experiencing the love of Jesus in me, I've got to give those up. I'm reminded of my wife, who does a very good job of that all the time for me and for our family. But I'm reminded of a time of my wife when we lived in Malawi, Africa. There in the country of Malawi, they're very conservative. And it was frowned upon for women not to wear pants. And so for 7 years, my wife wore a skirt. She did not wear pants because she knew that if she took up her right to do that, it would hurt her witness for Jesus. It would hurt others and their ability to experience the love of Christ for her. And so she gave that up. Paul reminds us, friends, in 1 Corinthians 13:1, that we can speak truth, but if we don't do it with love, if we don't act with love, Eugene Peterson puts it like this in The Message, we're a creaky, rusty gate. And so how are you growing in your ability spiritually and emotionally to give away this love of Jesus to someone that you might not agree with? And the last thing is this, in verse 35, I know that when I am growing emotionally and spiritually, that I'm able to open up my hands to another person's needs. It says this in verse 35, the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. You know, this guy could have just simply felt sorry for this man along the road, but he understood. He thought about that this man was on a journey, and now he's fallen into this mess and he needed help. And so he takes his own money, he takes his own time, and he helps this person. You know, friends, I think that sometimes we measure our spirituality by how many Sundays we go to church or by how often we pray. But I'm not too sure God's all that concerned about our church attendance. Yes, church attendance, I think, is important. I think it helps us grow as Christians. But what he's more concerned about is if you're growing, if your heart is changing and becoming more like him. And I know it's pretty darn possible. I can be the first to tell you that if I do not grow emotionally as an adult, it is very hard to live out the love of Jesus for people in this world. So Jesus ends this story here, friends. He asks a question to the lawyer. He says, so which one of these three do you think was a neighbor to this man who was on the side of the road? And the answer is quite obvious, actually. It's the one who had mercy on him, he said in verse 37. And Jesus simply tells the man, go and do likewise. But friends, how do we do that? How do we do that? Because I know it's so easy for me to say these words, but how do we practically do that? Friends, there is no other way to go and show mercy like this if we do not realize or we have never experienced the mercy of God in our own lives. If we don't understand that our condition before Christ, we were enemies with God, separated from God. But because God has redeemed our lives, we are brought back into this loving relationship with God. And if we do not understand the mercy that God has shown us, we'll never be able to experience that same mercy to others. Friends, loving God and loving others is connected to a healthy relationship with God. And that doesn't happen overnight. It didn't happen, obviously, for these priests and Levites. They're still working on it in their lives. And I love the scripture in the Bible that says, he who began a good work is faithful to complete it. You know, friends, I know that for many of us, we are longing to follow Jesus. But I know there are areas in our lives where God would just simply say, hey, grow up. Grow up. And here's the thing. Jesus loves us so much that he wants to fill us. Those cracks in our lives, those things in our lives where we give a bad witness or a bad testimony, Jesus wants to fill those lives and come and make us new. You know, friends, I know that there are some watching today who have never experienced the love of Christ. Jesus loves you so much. And while you were still sinners, still a mess, Jesus came down from heaven and walked among us and showed us how to live and gives people a new purpose, forgives people of their sins, and gives us new life. Would you accept him today? Would you be so bold and so courageous to say, you know what, there are some things in my life. There is some emotional pain, some resentment, some baggage in my life that is destroying relationships around me. And would you be so bold today to say yes to Jesus? There's a button right now that's come on the screen. If you're watching through our website, there's a Connect With Us card on our Facebook page. If you'd click that and just say, I want to have some help in following these next steps with Jesus. Friends, I want to leave you with this scripture today from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. It says this, as God's own, Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, and patience, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. And crown all these things with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Friends, what the world needs now is love. Go and show mercy like Jesus said. Have a great Sunday. I love you, church.